serving the Lord and being faithful, and I wonder what it would be like if we didn't have musical instruments. I think that would be rather different. They just said they didn't have a special today, and I told Danny I'd be willing to sing, but I'd split the church. Half would leave because they couldn't handle it. The other half would stay because they felt sorry for the church. So anyway, good to see you. I think some are getting back to normal, whatever normal is. I'm not sure what normal is, but I thank the Lord you're here today. We still have many that are out sick, but this, I thank you being here today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to look at these seven verses where we find Elijah recovering the lost axe head. Quite a story. I pray God will use it. Let's just go ahead and read those seven verses if we can. And the sons of the prophet, chapter 6, 2 Kings, said unto Elijah, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." It literally means too small. It's not enough room. "Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up with thee," and he put out his hand and took it. Now I want you to notice here the beam here. I want to take each letter of the word beam, because here what they're doing, they're cutting down beams, they're cutting down to build a bigger place for them. And we find here, and look at verse 2, "Let's go, we pray thee, into Jordan, take thence every man a beam, let us use as a place there." I want to first of all deal with the meaning of the beam, and then the missing axe head. It's kind of hard to cut with an axe without an axe head. And then I want you to notice the miracle of retrieving the axe head. Father, do be with us this morning and speak to us as we look at this tremendous story, a great miracle that you perform. We pray in Christ's name, our Savior. Amen. If I was to take each letter, that word beam, I think it will help you to understand the meaning of the beam. And why they get, what is a beam? B, bearing your burdens. Each person was to take a beam and they were to bear their burdens. Now leave that passage rather quickly. Go to the New Testament, the book of Galatians chapter 6, because there he talks about bearing burdens. Bearing burdens. He'll talk about three kinds of burdens to carry. And we must all carry our burden. There is a burden for others. Look there at chapter 6 of Galatians and look at verse 2 with me. "Bear ye one another's burdens." Bear ye one another's burdens. What an important truth. We're to bear the burdens of others. I thought that we do that in prayer. We do that in visitation. We do that in many ways. Bearing the burdens of others. But then we come down to, not only do we see the burden of others, but we see the burden of obedience. Now there is no contradiction anywhere in the Word of God. Do you believe that today? Amen. But verse 5 on the surface almost looks like a contradiction from verse 2. Let's read verse 2 again. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Then it comes down to verse 5, "that every man should bear his own burden." Almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? It's not. There are two different Greek words here. The word for bear, for burden in verse 5, let's put it this way. It's like a knapsack that a military man carries on his back. And he doesn't say to the soldier next to him, you wouldn't mind carrying my burden along with your burden, your knapsack along with my knapsack. How about you carrying both of them? I don't think you'd last long in the military with that kind of philosophy. You'd be in real trouble. Probably the guardhouse, a few other things might happen to you. What each soldier had to do was to bear his own burden, and then as well as burden of other people. So it's the knapsack concept. It's the idea when you see people in trouble. So we're to bear the burdens of others. We're to bear burdens of obedience. There's a third one. Look there in the same. I call them the three bears. Burden bearers here. Look over there to chapter 6 again. Look at verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So you not only bear the burdens of others, bear the burdens of obedience. When God gives you something to do, you will do it. You just say, yes, sir, I'll do it. But there's the burden of overcoming, bearing that burden of overcoming. Your preacher, our brother here this morning, was talking in Sunday school class about things may get worse. We may see that. I don't know that. But I do know this. I know this. We can be overcomers. Hallelujah. We got the power to be overcomers no matter what happens in our society today. And so we see here the B, bearing your burdens. I suggest today that you bear the burdens of others. I pray today you do that in prayer, phone calls, visitation, whatever needs to be, bear the burdens of others. I say to you, bear your own burden. Everybody here should have some responsibility in this ministry. You need to have some responsibility in this ministry. Just see that it goes forward, that it grows. And somebody said a lot of people are watching what's happening. Some are wondering what's happening. But hallelujah, there are those who are involved in what's happening and making the church prosperous. Don't just watch, but be involved and do that. Then I think of the E. What does that mean? He noticed what he said here. Look there again in verse 1 and 2. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold, now the place where we dwell when there is too straight for it, too narrow. They had a vision. So not only to be bearing your burdens, but enlarging your vision. Enlarging your vision. I like to see here one day that every place is filled on this church. The pews are filled, church is growing, exciting. And whatever you do, don't think about the old days. They will do you no good. Think about the days that God has ahead for the ministry. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah in 54, because here he talks about enlarging your vision. He said, the place where we dwell is too small. We need to expand. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church one day had to have a building program to get a new, expand their auditorium? Would that be great? How many are for that? Everybody, I think, here would be for that. Please, whatever you are, don't be content with where you are. Look there in verse 2 of chapter 54. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Just, you know, the church house is so vital. The church is so important. See that it's enlarged. Enlarge your vision for it. I hope one day you'll have several adult Sunday school classes. I pray you'll have several children's classes. The Lord just cause it to go forward and grow. That will only happen if you enlarge your vision. Please, don't live in the comfort zone. Don't do that. See that it goes forward. And and he said that this place is too small. The smallness of your life must be expanded. Some people are just so content with the narrowness of their life, the little world they live in. Expand. Let it reach out. Let it grow. And so we see here that can happen. Then I think of the letter A. It's abounding in the work of the Lord. Look, go back to our passage there. And verse 2 said, let us go, pray thee, into Jordan. Let us. Notice the word, let us. everybody was involved. We pray thee into Jordan and take them thence every man. Notice that, not some people, every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. This is Elijah. Tell him, go ahead. And they said, listen, be content, I pray thee, and go with the servants. Now Elijah, name means Jehovah is salvation, a picture of God. I want to tell you something. You don't want to do anything or go anywhere without God. You don't want to do anything in this church without God being approval and seeing that it is happening. But I think about that abounding in the work of the Lord. They were abounding. They say, hey, let's all get together and let's do this. Let's make it happen. I was thinking of a wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you care to turn there. It's a wonderful verse, chapter 15. And look with me, if you will, please, to verse 58. Let me read it to you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. The word steadfast means to firm up your convictions. I hope you have convictions. We're living in a day when convictions are being cast out the window. Do you know what a conviction is? I've seen people who said they had conviction. It was really only an opinion. Do you have convictions? Steadfastness. Be firm in your conviction. There are three things about a conviction. What is a conviction? It's a truth found in the Word of God. I have people who they tell me they have convictions about this, and you can't find it in the Bible. Convictions are truths found in the Word of God. And they are also true, transfused into your very character. Literally becomes part of you. I have a strong conviction about the Bible, the translations. I believe in the preservation of the Word of God. I have a conviction. Do you have a conviction today about that? It must not be a truth found in Scripture, but also it must be transfused and it must be transparent to all, that others may see that it's real in your life. Don't be a politician. Which way is the wind blowing? Have convictions. That's the idea of that word steadfast. Be firm in your convictions. Immovable means to be faithful in your commitment. Unmovable. You're going to stay firm. And then it means here, and abound in the work of the Lord. The word abound means above the ordinary. You know, no matter if you're in the nursery or in a choir, you're teaching Sunday school, do above. Don't be the average. Do above the average. Take what it takes to be able to get accomplished. And then we see here, the word of the Lord, for much of their labor is not in vain, the Lord. Be fulfilled in your car, the work of the Lord. What are you doing for the work of the Lord? What are you doing? What am I doing? When I'm home, I want to be involved in my church ministry. They don't see me much anymore. I haven't seen me for a good 8 or 9 years now on a regular basis. But I still like my tithe, though. Praise the Lord for that. But anyway, I'm not there much. So we're to bear your burdens, you enlarge your vision, you're bound in the work of the Lord, and you are to meet the requirements that God has laid down in his word. Turn with me to Philippians. You're near it. Philippians 4, one of my favorite verses. Verse 4, verse 13. I want you to notice some things in that verse, because here is meeting the requirements. Meeting the requirements. First of all, I can't. By the way, there are 10 words in that verse. 5 of them are your part. The other 5 are God's part. The first 5, I can do all things. That's determination. You'll not accomplish anything if you don't set out to do it. Then he tells after that, the next 5 words are through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. That's our dependence on him. I can do all things, determination. through Christ, which strengthened me. Somebody said, miracles come in cans. I can because he can do it through me. You got to meet the requirements. You got to do your duty, directions, what God wants you to, determination. And when you do that, you know you can't do it without him. That's dependence. How you need both of these in your life. And so we have here the meaning of the being, bearing your burdens, enlarging your vision. Don't stay with the status quo. Don't move on. Abound in the work and meet the requirements. Your part, his part. You can't have a miracle if you don't do your part. You got to have that. Now think with me as we go back to our text, as we look not only to the meaning of the being, but would you look with me now, the missing axe head. Look here, verse 3 or verse 4. So he went with them, that is Elijah, picture of Christ. You can't do it yourself. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, and he said, oh, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now let's stop right there. I want you to notice the axe. That axe is symbolic of the purpose God has for your life. God has work for you to do, for me to do. It's symbolic in that axe. They took that axe with them there. It was forged, it was fashioned, it was shaped, it was sharpened to be an instrument to do accomplish something. That's what you and I are. We're like an axe. But then you look at the second thing, the axe handle. Now the axe handle. Now we're dealing with chainsaws today, but let's get back to the text here. My wife won't let me have a chainsaw. She said, I'm not stupid. You'll kill yourself. I have bought an chainsaw for my neighbor, and he helps me cut things down because she says so. She's trying to protect me from myself. Sometimes I do things when she's not around. You tell her that, I'm leaving. The axe handle, it's a picture of you and me. The axe represents the purpose that God has. But what good is it? Now the handle. The handle, it may be made out of the best wood that could be bought, the strongest wood, but all it is a long stick. An axe handle is absolutely good for nothing without the head. Because you see the third, when you have the axe with the handle and the head, that's the purpose. You have the handle, that's you and me. Do you ever see somebody try to cut down a tree with just the handle? If you try that, I'd like to know who you are, stupid. You need some instructions. You cannot cut down a tree with a handle. You need the head. And we can't do anything, folks, without the head. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the head. And that represents God's power. Just as we need the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was on earth here, he said, I can do nothing of myself. Remember him saying that in John? He was totally dependent upon the Father, and we're dependent upon the Son. We cannot do anything without him. Think with me, the head fell into the water. There's some thoughts here. Don't forget it. I like this. It said here in verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, my friend, it was borrowed. It was borrowed. Can I say this to you, to all of us? Everything we have, we're on borrowed time. I have a car out there. Somebody said, you like your car? I said to him one time, it's borrowed. Who'd you borrow from? I said, from God. It belongs to him. The suit of clothes I wear belongs to him. Listen, everything that we have is borrowed. It all belongs to him. All belongs to him. But the axe was not only borrowed, it was broken. You can't hear. Is the axe head gone? And all that's left is the handle. I can see now one thing say together. He said, you lost your axe head? He said, well, just go ahead and cut it with a handle. We know that can't happen. He lost his power. He left nothing more than a burden. Here he's got without the head, a handle without the head. A believer without Jesus Christ as the head cannot accomplish anything. When are we going to come to that conclusion? When's that going to become a reality to us? But I see in this text, I not only see the meaning of the beam, and I see the missing axe head when the axe fell off the handle, and then I see here the miracle of retrieving the axe head. I want you to see this. You like to see a miracle? I like to see God do things, don't you? I mean, it's just exciting to me when God just does things beyond what we expect. I remember my second church that I pastored out in California, when I went there to pastor the church, all the money that they had supposedly set aside for the building program was missing. It was gone. Where it went, I to this day don't know. But we were meeting in our fellowship hall, and the church began to grow. But we had a Christian school, too, ran about 400 in Christian school. And I remember there were those who wanted to build a gymatorium. We could use it for a gym as well as an auditorium. That's called the doctrine of baloney. You need an auditorium. You don't need a gymnasium till later. I mean, you know, we don't want the place where you're bouncing a basketball one day and the next day you're trying to worship the Lord and put all, I said, no, we can't do that. Well, they got, church was split over that. I remember one night walking that campus, 25 acres there in Central California. Oh, God, what are we going to do? I got half the church that says we got to have a gymnasium. Another half says we need to get the auditorium. As I began to pray, God did some wonderful things. I told the church, I said, God has laid on my heart, I hope you agree, we could need a church auditorium. We built, I think it was over 900. The church was growing, God was doing great things. And I had, a dozen stand up and said, what about that gymnasium? I said, we're going to believe God to give us that gymnasium. And I had them come to me after, said, we're going to hold you accountable to what you said. I spent another half night praying over that auditorium and over that property, I mean. I'll never forget it because on Monday morning, a fellow came into our church, into the office, said, I'm looking for the pastor. And so they got me, and he said, I have some stock on the New York Stock Exchange, and I hear you want to build a gymnasium. I think this will help it a long way. I had a Baptistical meeting with the Holy Ghost. I saw God do something that was, humanly speaking, not going to happen. So our church is building a 900 and something seating capacity auditorium the same time we're building a gym. By the way, don't try that unless God is in it, because that's miraculous. And only God can do that. But God uses people. I want you to get this in the text. The miracle involves people. Notice what he says. Notice what, look there in verse 5, verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? Now, do you think Elijah could find out where that fell without asking somebody? I think he could, don't you? But I have found that God uses us to get involved in a miracle. God wants us to be involved in the miracle process. So we see here, the miracle involves people. And the miracle also involves provision. Look here. And verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and he cast it thither. And the iron did swim. Now get that. He that stick, just a stick, represented the power of God. Remember what I said, you and I, that's all we're, a bunch of sticks. I like over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he talks about we're feet of clay. We're just clay. You know what? That clay pot, we're just a clay pot. They made it out of clay. You know what that was? That was just mud put together. You know what? You and I, we're just glorified mud balls. Amen? Just glorified mud balls. That's all we are. That God wants to use for his glory. And so we see here God involved in the miracle. And you and I involved in the miracle. And then I want you to notice something here as we close today. I want you to see this. And he cast it, verse 6, and the iron did swim. That's interesting to me. I could see the iron floating, but not swimming. I think there's a double miracle here. God likes to do miracles in groups. I don't know how I could just see it headed for shore. Guy reaching out his hand and getting that and say, whoa, look here, folks. Look what I got. That's fine, buddy. Put it back on the handle. You see, the miracle involves the power of the risen Christ. The axe head represented the power of God, the risen Christ. I can do how many things through Christ? All things through Christ. Indeed, a miracle. It's not only just floated, it swam. And then he put it back on. Look at verse 6 again and 7 as we close. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it in hither. Someone is in one of the commentaries said the stick could well represent Calvary. Calvary, as our Lord hung on the cross, died, and then he rose again. We serve a living Savior, a powerful Savior. Therefore, he said, take it up thee and put it on his hand, and he took it. I noticed what they didn't say. But I know what they did. They just continued cutting down trees, cutting down beams. And everybody had his axe now with the head on the handle. Now it's an axe. And they're doing what God wants them to do. My prayer is we realize as we conclude here this morning, God has you and me, individual people, the need to do the work of God. We need everyone involved. Don't be just a seat warmer. Do something for God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and we'll sing a closing hymn. But I'm wondering this morning as we stand, before we do, say some things to you, and we'll have a song here in a moment. But I'm wondering today, have you lost your axe head? Have you lost the power of God in your life? We're living in strange times, no doubt. But it's okay. Because we can be overcomers. Are you willing to carry the burdens that this church needs? Carry the burdens that this church so desperately needs this morning? I'm wondering this morning, you're just too busy with your own life to bear others' burdens as well as your own. Do you have a vision? Maybe this morning you need to come and find a place God spoke to my heart, and Lord, give me a vision for this ministry. We'll do this tonight, and tonight we'll all come forward, and not come forward because of the pandemic, but we'll pray tonight for the right one. We'll have our pulpit committee up here praying for the one that God wants them to bring, the right person to be your pastor? Are you envisioning what the pastor God wants for you? I hope you are. But are you abounding in the work? Are you doing your part this morning? If God spoke to you as we sing our final song, you need to find a place to say, "Oh God, I've lost my vision. I need it back, Lord. I'm so wrapped up in my own life, I've lost my burden for others. And I'm not carrying my own burden. And most of all, Lord, I'm just a stick, just an axe handle. And I need the axe on the stick so that I can do the work. I've lost my axe head, and I need it back." If you need to find a place at the altar here, feel free to do so. Wherever you are, let God speak to your heart. As he closes, Brother Max here comes, closing a song. God speak to your heart. Just a couple stanzas of this song.
332.